Hello, I'm Joe Thacker, pastor of St. Mark Reformed Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Rich Lusk, pastor of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Pastor Lusk will be coming to Nashville for a conference at St. Mark, May 13th through the 15th. And in preparation for that, we wanted for him to give us a preview of sorts of what the conference will be about. Rich, welcome and thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having me. And it's great to speak with you and really look forward to being up there for the conference. It's an honor to be invited and be a part of it. Really look forward to it.
Rich, the theme of the conference is mission, its meaning and manifestation. Can you please give us a brief definition of mission?
You know, one thing that confuses people is we talk about mission without the S, and then sometimes we talk about missions with the S. Typically when we talk about missions with the S, we're talking about really specifically the church's ministry of evangelism, the church's calling to take the gospel out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And especially it has in view what we would think of as cross-cultural mission work, cross-cultural evangelism. But mission without the S is comprehensively what God has called us to do in the creation. So it certainly includes missions in the sense of evangelism, but it's really much, much broader than that. And that's one thing that I think we need to get sight of. And really, that is because mission is anchored in God himself. God is the missionary God. God is the sending God. The Father sent the Son into the world. The Father and the Son together send the Spirit into the world on a mission. The Father, Son, and Spirit together send the church into the world on a mission. Scholars will also talk about Missio Dei, the Latin for God's mission, the mission of God. That's really the foundation of everything else. And really, I think then you can start to look at the whole Bible as the story of God's mission, the story of God's project of filling the cosmos with his glory. And we've been called to partake in that mission, to share in that mission. We're participants in this mission. I think that's a really good way, actually, to look at the scriptures as a whole and really look at the Christian life as a whole. I know one theologian who's put it well. He says it's not really so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as it is that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission really is prior to the church. God calls the church to himself and then sends the church out to share in his mission, this work that he is doing of filling the whole creation with his glory. And that's ultimately what mission is all about.
Thank you. That's an enticing preview of things to come. Rich, tell us why people should come to a conference on mission, and why is this an important theme for discussion and consideration?
Anybody who is interested in what God is doing in the world should be able to come to this conference and find something there for them, because that's really what we're going to be talking about, God's mission and the way that we're called to share in that mission. So what do we hope will come out of the conference? What am I really aiming at? I want to make every Christian who comes a better missionary.
Rich, during the conference, you plan to address how mission relates to the family, the marketplace, the poor, and the gospel. Can you give us a few thoughts about how you'll address those areas?
I think the biggest thing with those different areas is simply talking about what kind of people we have to be good missionaries. That's a question we have to ask. If we think that this is our calling, if every Christian is a missionary, then what's it take? What makes for a good missionary? What are missionaries in training supposed to learn, and what does it mean to go out and actually do the mission? And talking about these different areas is just a way of sort of breaking it down and talking about what mission looks like. For example, mission in the home. A lot of times those are two things that we don't really put together, especially if we tend to think of mission as something that you do, by getting on an airplane and flying to the other side of the world and sharing the gospel with people on a different continent. The reality is mission is as close as your next-door neighbor, even closer in a way. It's even in your own home. To be honest with you, I think one of the reasons that a lot of kids growing up in Christian homes and in the church are just bored. They're bored with their faith. They're bored with church. For them, being a Christian, there's nothing exciting about it at all, and sometimes that's why they get into so much trouble in other ways. It's because we haven't given them any sense of mission, and I think this is especially true for our boys or young men growing up. That we've got to instill in them a sense of mission, and one thing I found is that Christians who buy into missional aspect of the Christian life, that's really at the core of it, is very exciting. You end up with a lot of great stories to tell, because God does a lot of amazing things, you know, when you start to really open your eyes and try to get involved in what he wants us to do in the world. Mission in the marketplace, which, you know, is all different kinds of things we can talk about, but, you know, part of our mission is cultural renewal, and part of how we do that is through our vocation, through our work, through our daily callings. Now, that can include a stay-at-home mom. What does it mean to be a missionary when I'm on the job? It's not a matter of, you know, sharing the gospel with coworkers, you know, on company time, you know, or putting a fish symbol on my business card. You know, it may or may not be appropriate ways to do those kinds of things, but really it's much bigger than that in terms of how we do our work, the quality of our work. And then also, as God grants us resources in the business world, using those resources in ways that will serve the common good. Seeing our vocation as a way of serving the common good, but also especially for those Christians who sort of climb a corporate ladder or who are entrepreneurs and start their own businesses, all kinds of ways in which business can be used as mission. In fact, there's a whole sort of business as mission movement out there right now that I think is doing a lot of good work, looking at not only how business can be a blessing to people in our own culture, but even in poorer parts of the world, ways in which businesses can use their resources and actually can benefit, but then also benefit others. So it's really an important way, looking at God's principles in this whole area of life. And then we'll also talk about the poor. Obviously, God's church is called to minister to the poor, to those who are needy, lonely, broken families, those who, in one way or another, their own families and society have let them down. And the church is called to minister to the least of these. And so we have to ask what that means as well. And I think it's something that a lot of churches in our day really struggle with figuring out what to do. We sometimes are able to insulate ourselves from poverty by where we live, but there's still poor all over, especially in urban and now even in suburban areas. And the church is called to not just wait for the poor to come and ask for something, but actually to seek out the poor and be a blessing to them. And that's part of our mission as well. It's really word and deed together. It's not just proclaiming the gospel, but it's embodying the gospel in deeds of mercy and kindness towards the poor. So we'll talk about that some as well. What are the root causes of poverty? How has God called us to address poverty uniquely as his people, as Christians? And what does the incarnation as a model show us about how poverty is to be dealt with? Jesus, who is rich, the Apostle Paul says, became poor for our sakes. And if that's his pattern of ministry, in what way does that become our pattern of ministry as well?
That's very helpful, and I look forward to your delving into these topics in greater detail. Besides the subjects already mentioned, what other areas would you say are directly related to mission?
Well, I think that one thing we need to understand is that the whole Christian life is missional. We should not think of mission or missions as a department of Christian existence or a department of the church, but really as something that cuts across everything we do. So everything we do has a missional texture, a missional fabric to it. I think that's really significant. I know one pastor whose work I really respect, he's heard him talk about how his church grew very significantly, and people would ask him, well, you know, wow, your church has grown so much, and it's real kingdom growth. You know, it's not sheep stealing. It's not just moving the same pieces around the board. If you're actually growing with outsiders, real kingdom growth. And how's that happening? You know, who's in charge of your evangelism program? And he would say, well, we don't have an evangelism program. We don't have a staff person who's over mission because we believe everything we do has got to be missional. Every person on our staff, there's a missional component to his job description. So there's no separate department devoted to missions. Everything has this missional bent to it because that's how God has called us. If you don't have mission, you don't have church. You don't have the Christian life without mission. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. Charles Spurgeon said it well. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And that's exactly right. But I think one thing that we need to give some thought to, Joe, you know, you pastor a liturgical church. I pastor a liturgical church. A lot of times people think that liturgy and mission can't really coexist, that if you're liturgical, you can't be missional, and if you're missional, you're certainly not going to be liturgical. I don't think that's the case at all. To have a deep appreciation of a biblically formed and shaped liturgy, but also to see yourself as a church that's on a mission. And there are different ways that the liturgy itself can be missional. It's not directly evangelistic. The Sunday service is not it's not really an evangelistic meeting. I don't think that's right. Liturgy is covenant renewal, God renewing covenant with his people. And so in that sense, it's something uniquely intimate between God and his people. But at the same time, it does have a missional emphasis. One way that it's missional is through our prayers. In our prayers in the gathered liturgy, we offer the world to God. We offer the world in all its brokenness, all its neediness. We pray for the good of the world. We pray for the salvation of the world. We pray for the healing of the world. And those prayers, those missional prayers, we believe are effectual. God brings about the healing of the world in response to those prayers. Something else you see all throughout, you know, say the Psalms and different places in the Old Testament, the nations are called to gather. The nations are called to flow into the temple of God. And so while liturgy is not going to be directly evangelistic, I think it's entirely appropriate for unbelievers to come and to witness what we do, to see our God in action serving his people in our corporate gathering, and in that way to see that, you know, so long as they're on the outside looking in, they're missing out. It's not directly evangelistic, but it's still powerfully evangelistic. So liturgy and mission are not mutually exclusive. The liturgy actually trains us in mission. The things that God does for us, the ways in which God serves us in the liturgy, are the ways, in turn, that we are to serve the world. You know, and in that way, I would say that mission flows out of the liturgy, and liturgy helps shape and form mission.
Rich, thanks again for taking the time to speak with me today, and we are looking forward to your visit in a couple of months.
Thank you, Joe. I look forward to it as well.
For those of you listening, let me again extend the invitation to you for the 2011 Living as the Church Conference, May 13th through the 15th. If you would like some more information, details can be found on our church website at stmarkreformed.org. That's stmarkreformed.org. There you will find the schedule for the weekend and information about some of the other events we have planned in conjunction with the conference, as well as a way to register your attendance. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you in May.